wouldn't expect a non-kosher piece of meat to be detectably non-kosher. That it should be not as nice as a kosher meat. I mean, you'd have to be crazy to expect that. So why would you expect that Eicha shouldn't be true? Because what's your timing over here? This goes back to the Mokar of Avelis. What's the Mokar of Avelis? There's two different worlds. You go through a world of we look at it. This is a world of Olam Hazeh. What do you expect? It's not an Olam Shekulo Yaros. Can't be an Olam Shekulo Yaros. So what's the Mokar for Avelis and the Mokar medicine? The world is not meant to be a world Shekulo Yaros. There's nothing. Here we go. Very good question. We all along had insisted that the nature, I guess you're looking at me blankly because we're taking a lot for granted, the nature of the nature of the word Eicha itself is basically a definition of the entire Aveda, not only a Tisha B'Av but the Klal of Aveda Sa'adam in the context of Olam Hazeh, and that's why it is an expression of Ayeka. To the extent that the opening Targum directly relates it to Ayeka, that the opening the Psicha and the Medrash relates it directly to Ayeka. Because clearly it's meant to be a question that cannot have an answer. And its inability to be answered is what we find to be the paradox of Avelis itself. A question that is cannot be answered, it has in it elements of surprise, but elements of paradox. In other words, if I'm saying Eicha, or I'm saying Ayeka, I'm expressing shock. Right? I'm expressing shock. How could such a thing be? So, but at the same time, I'm expressing that, so that means that it's not assumed that such a thing would be. How could such a thing be? So that means if we are expressing that shock on Avelis, we're trying to say on some level that mortality is not supposed to be, which is exactly what the Rambam points out in the Teres Adam. The only reason we're misavel is because it's a violation of what ought to be. If it's something that ought to be, it's not supposed to be misavel on it. It would just be silly.
It's a very time limited thing.
Yes, and you're right. You're right in pointing out that its limitation in time is indeed, by the Rambam, tied into the normalcy. That it's absurd to be misavo on Darkei Shalom. It's exactly what he says. And that nonetheless, not being misavo is cruel. Tzagzori, that's a whole different approach. He's not talking about the fundamentals. He's not going on the elements of the Rambam. That there's something innate about Avelis. He's finding that Avelis, in a sense, and this is it's very much Nagea, the issues yesterday about Chov and Mishpat. In other words, there's an aspect of Avelis which is Mishpat oriented, in the sense that we feel loss, we experience loss. So that even though we are absolutely clear in a rational level that we must experience that loss, it doesn't change the emotional component, which is part of mishpat, because it's the way that the world evolves. Those mishpatim are necessary in order to assure the relationships that must be there. So if we didn't experience loss, then that means it would be impossible to create the social structures that are necessary for the survival of the species. There need to be very strong reasons for a child not to wander away and therefore be eaten up by a lion. So there's ways in which that is built in. One of those ways is this emotive expression, right? So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is, look, somebody who's going to go mad over loss is crazy. Because then what they're doing is they're taking the matzah in Olam Hazeh as something that's an absolute, and therefore the loss is absolute. And instead of recognizing Darkei Shalom, I'm simply a shtuyot. Well, it's just dumb to be misavra. You know, and you feel like slapping such a person across, but again, pull yourself together and get a life for yourself, you know. No, I don't see why he's saying that. So your lot chatesh is the pshat that you make a kodesh baruch hu weak, as Rashi says. Yishu ba le'ivachat en metishim et kocho le'ivachat. So your lot chatesh is a fundamental aspect of bracha, being able to be bracha.
Right, sometimes the suri lot chatesh he gave you a gift in that aspect.
The tishkat
gam halacha. I mean,
it's
a double-edged sword.
Yeah, okay, but it's more of a Hasidish kind of thing. I hear what you're saying. I know. It's a long background. It's good. You only take the best of it. I got to say. So the Rambam, when the Rambam is talking about Achzorius in terms of Avelus versus rationality, he's not talking about Eichon. Because this is not emotional. If we're relating it back to Ayeka, it's not emotional, it's existential. In the Shaila of Ayeka came the discovery of Adam Rishon's Yeshus, right? That's the Anochi. First time he uses the word Anochi is as a response to Ayeka. The Rambam himself understands that the meaning of Rosh Hashanah and Tzkiya Shofar is essentially the reconstruction of the Ayeka, which forces you to the awareness of Eicha in the more fundamental sense, which is that Lamaisa, we sense the paradox of an unanswerable question. In other words, on the one hand, I am shocked, and on the other hand, I have to question myself about the assumptions that I'm shocked about. Just like every Avelus is built of the word Aval, and that Aval is built into the nature of existence, which in Chazal's Lush means absolute emes. Aval, it's a double question, it's clear, 100%. Or in any assumption, the aval is the exclusion from the assumption. These are the givens, aval. Like we say in English, there's always a but. That is, whatever it is that you've accepted, but there's always a but. The but is the avelus. So the shaila is then, so why is it avelus? In other words, why would it pause if it is innate? Then why would it cause mourning? Why would it be a surprise? And if it is a surprise, then why is it that way? Then why is it an aval? That's a fundamental paradox. That level of paradoxality obviously relates to Parah Aduma, right? But the Parah Aduma itself is dealing with the issue of Nisa. So the Chatas, the Parah Aduma is a Chatas for basically the Chet of Adam HaRishon. That's why it's not Shachar Mokam HaMikdash, it's Tam Bachutz, and so on and so forth. But Parah Aduma is good for the place where Chayk and Mishpat is the issue, the fundamental issue of Parah Aduma. That's Seisku Chesantara. So therefore, we need to, what we did yesterday was analyze what areas we have a right to assume would be impactful in Olam HaZeh, the Pashtut is just Mishpat. And what elements are impactful in a completely different way? And that was the getter of Bris, or the implications of Maisa Bereishis initially, which is Bris. And Memela, I mean, it took hours to go through. I mean, I can't pass it over you. But Memela, I mean, it turns out, as the Rambam himself says, that Adam is the most complex of all of the things that you'll find in the universe. Everything else is very simple compared to Adam. The structures that Adam therefore creates are much more complex. You don't find the creation of equivalent structures anywhere else in biology. And again, we pointed out equivalent structures that are hardwired, yes, but that are liquid, no. And that's the whole point. In other words, the difference between a predefined structure and a liquid structure, we call today a plastic structure, is the difference between a beehive and a human brain. Tremendously different. Both of those structures are called dibur, which is amazing, right? Because you have that element of structure, which is the devora, but in the human being, you have the fluidity of language, which relates to the olive base of Eicha over here. Because I'm giving you ingredients which could mean anything. Basically form anything. So that the nature, therefore, of Eicha is mechayev, the interrelationship between the development of that fluidity to be what it is that it must become in an absolute sense. And therefore, Eicha is very much mechayev me, which is why Ani HaGever has to be connected to the other prakim. So as the Medrash points out, you have three olive bases in Ani HaGever, which are connected to the three prakim of single olive bases, which are Eichas, each of which refers to a different element of surprise and paradox, but which nonetheless need to be expressed in the individual's response of Ani HaGever. And that's exactly what the Rambam says in Hilchos Teruvim. In other words, the Ayeka, which is essentially Tzkiya Shofar, brings a person to the clarity of the recognition that the world is meant to be something which it isn't. And that contradiction leads only to one solution. That either I am maybe the Eilam Lidei Teshua Gedela, or I am Gerem Heres V'Kol Eilam Kulei, which is the original message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Marisha. And therefore, the definition of the way the Rambam holds Tzadik Yisei Eilam, that's what a Tzadik Yisei Eilam is. Somebody who lives with the awareness of what the moment's input, which is chaotic, that's his whole presentation of Perek Shlishi, is in terms of din and chaos, that it doesn't have any particular place. To the Tzadik Yisei Eilam, it's the essence of the paradox of the interrelationship between the random and the whole. Memela, he's the only one that really deals with Eicha. And the Maisa, I mean, Eicha ends with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In terms of the tikkun of those elements that lead to Eicha, the Shvira Saluches, so on and so forth, it's Mamish Tkiya Shefer. I mean, it's even one of the Zichrenes of Tkiya Shefer. So, anyway, that's a brief review of why. And that we said related to Dark Etzion. And Dark Etzion are the interrelationship between things, not the things. And the Rambam himself points out elements, it's not just getting he's just unbelievable, that elements never mean very much. The more they become a particular element, the less they mean. To the point where, and he relates this to the whole idea of Chorek and Mishpat, all going all the way back to nested levels of creation. Right? Because the time is that the way in which the reason that people make the mistakes that they do about Chayt and Mishpat, that the time that Chayt means doesn't have a reason, like they say by Shiloh HaKain, in Amel Xerites, is because they make the same mistake in creation. They think that if you're going to hold that my separation is Yeshmiyai, so clearly, if I ask you, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world, and then there was a time, or whatever you want to call it, where he did not create the world? So why did he create the world? You can't possibly give a reason for that, right? Obviously, I mean, existentially, that reason would be God, I mean, because the reason is causing God. So what are you going to answer? Zero evil upon that. That's his words. What can I tell you? The way they say it in Kabbalah, Ritzein HaPasha, right? So they think, then the mail, the details have to be the same thing. Ritzein HaPasha. So how am I going to start analyzing now whether there's, if it's supposed to have some kind of functional, right? I even makes a joke of it by saying, I mean, with that attitude, you could take a look at an eye, and you could say, there's really no need for a cornea, and there's no need for a retina, because, I mean, the only reason it's there is Zerim Milfanat. I have something to do with seeing. That's a Teitsa. I mean, listen, there could have been an infinity of different ways of seeing. I'm still asking the same question. So why is this the way of seeing? So you're going to answer. That's the way Hashem wanted it. What else are you going to answer? So taking that to mitzvahs, you have the same situation. So why this mitzvah? That's the way he wanted it. So in other words, Rambam, that is just saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dumber than the simplest human. A human who does something, it's supposed to end up as a purpose. It may not have a reason, but it certainly has a purpose. So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no purpose. So you're confusing reasons with purpose, basically. That's your problem. But on the other hand, when you get stupid about it, and you try to give a reason for something that is a detail, and the way he puts it in the question frame is, he says, I'd say one cloud. You can never ask a question if you would have asked the question anyway, no matter what the answer would have been. That's fantastic, Klal. In other words, you're going to come along and say, why did the Torah say to do Sheva Hazaras in the Tiara Shom Mizbeach? So that's a dumb question. Because what if the Torah had said 13 and a half? You would have said, why 13 and a half? I would have said 3. You would have said, why 3? No matter what they said, you would have said, why? So how can you have an answer to a question like that? If anybody tries to answer a question like that, it's a jerk. And it's on that that Chazal are saying, anything makes a difference. Yishek min ha-tzava, yishek min ha-oreb. That's already overdoing the idea of purpose. I mean, there have to be details, values within parameters. The parameters have meaning. The particular interrelationship of the values, you're right. That's the way it is, you know. Fine. That's another question. The Shaila is, so here, that relates to this etzem nekuda. In other words, what is it that I expect to find at the level of meaning? How do I see the interrelationship of what is in the world with what is meaningful, what is supposed to be? That's my expression of hope. Once someone sees Avelis in terms of hope, they would see it in terms of absolute hope. How could they possibly be misavo? And I pointed out that Halos HaLamaisa would not misavo. Because you could find that the entire idea of Avelis is it's what we experience as Avelis. The emotional element of Avelis, which is what the Rambam is saying, is just a question about Zorius, is clearly just emotional because no one that I have ever met was misavo on the fact that they had not been born in the 19th century. Even though it's precisely the same problem as not existing in the 22nd century. It's exactly the same. And I was going to understand, boy, what a terrible thing. It was a world without me? You went to the beach, I wasn't born yet? How could I not have been born? What do you mean? Because you weren't born yet. I know, but if I'm supposed to be, I mean, why aren't I supposed to be? LMI, I have to be makabel the fact that I'm not supposed to be at all times. So what's nafkamina if just because you got into the habit of existing, of not being there after the time of your existence? In other words, why should anybody look at the loss of your physical presence differently from where you were before or where you'll be after? In the same way that a parent doesn't mourn the loss of a child before the child was born. So after the death of the child, okay, so that was the child. It was the child during that period. That was what defined that person. Everybody recognizes they certainly have a heart in which they exist. This is me in this dimension, this place and time space. So I'm going to sit down and say, it's gefilah that I'm not me. But what does that mean, this one? So that element that we're asking had something to do with the nature of the limitations of dimension. Per se, and it goes very, very deep into what is an Adam, what's the nature of Tzelem Elohim, what is the Ani Amati Elohim Atem. It isn't a childish response of, oi, I'm miserable, to relate it back to the Ayek, right? It's really questioning. So, how can we take a world that is Be'etzem, a place where these kind of things happen, the Echa Yashva Badar, and turn it into a place that is meaningful, that I feel it could be, that it ought to be. Anyway, that's what we were discussing until now. So the way that this related to the overall structure of the first Eicha, the first parak, is that the first parak talks about Mokan as Yisrael. So if we're talking about Lechera Yehuda, also Yehuda Miyani, but on the other hand we're talking about the Echa Yashva Badad, Ha'ir, Ha'ir, what's the difference of Ha'ir? We talk about Sion, we talk about Bat Sion. I don't understand, which comes first? I mean, I thought there's Yisrael that settles down in the city. How do we use here, that's clearly not a metaphor, the Alma. Because all of the minimum avayos are triggered by the etzem city. Rei Yerushalayim b'churban, and so on. That's not a metaphor. That's the reality. So in other words, the people, we're talking about the death of millions of people, would be like saying, in terms of a Holocaust museum, that we should perpetuate our availance. When somebody walks into Warsaw, they should tear their clothing. Because, there was such a beautiful ghetto here. What happened to the ghetto? The hell with the ghetto? Who cares about the ghetto? We care about the people that were Machia the ghetto. What's in there? What you trying? Over here, the universality of it, and that which makes it Negea at all times, is the Mokim. It's a completely different focus. Here you're talking about an incredible tragedy. The Gemara goes through Martha Bat Faitus. I mean, the Darga of the individual, the destruction, the Dam of the Kayanim, the Moses HaTinoikos, and so on and so forth. Things that we talk about in Holocaust museums. And the Navi comes along to give us an image of a city. So you see that relates directly to the issue of the Eicha itself. What is, and relates directly to the whole nature of Eretz Yisrael as the Tachlis of Bria. Right? Of the Keach Maisadigid Liyamo, of the idea of Reishis. That idea of Reishis is, as the Rishonim point out, Reishis has to imply a miserable interval, because Reishis implies a process, otherwise it's not a Reishis. I mean, a Reishis, if you're talking about something which either is or isn't, it's not Reishis. It just is. I mean, if it's Reishis, it means the beginning. Vez Mir, this is the beginning? So that makes you understand, I'm only explaining the beginning. So I'm giving you now a vision, so what's the end? The end is, and immediately starts talking about the Cheshach Al Pnei Tzahim, the various Goliaths, the Ruach Elohim Rachefes Al Pnei Amoyim, the Ruach Eshel Mashiach. I'm letting you know right away this is what we're talking about in my separations. So then that means that the idea of having now an ear is itself the nature of our belief that there's something about the conceptual Bereshis which is embedded in a physical place. That is no different than saying that the nature of the Yeshus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'an Shaloya Vayesh, that Yeshus, which we understand L'chaira, I mean, if it's really L'an Shaloya Vayesh, has to be in terms of an Olam Shekulo Yoruv. Nonetheless, we insist it has to be that the Reishis implies that the world in which that process is achieved has to be shayach to that Yeshus. Memela, we keep asking the Yecha. This is clearly what bothers us. It's like even on the simplest level, it's not theoretical. This is something that bothers little children. They believe as soon as they can believe anything. And you talk about a five-year-old. A five-year-old is troubled by a concern in the island. A five-year-old is troubled to see somebody throw a piece of paper on the ground. Because there's something wrong. There's something that's not masudr. It's a bringing in of chaos, of complete breakdown of structure and of meaning. That's why children love discipline. It's a simple psychological need that my mitzvah should make a difference. But because to be in an olam of total chaos leads to breakdown in existence, they become depressed, not some trouble, depressed in the sense of existential beliefs. You can't get them out of it, because underneath it all, the world has no meaning. I'm talking about five-year-olds. No shyla, I see it all the time. Existential depression in children five and below. They just give up on the world. It's not worth it. There's nothing that makes it worth it for them. They don't believe there's anything to it. You know, and the more potential a human has, the more this comes out at a very early age. So that, what is that coming from? It's coming from that problem. Everything in me insists that this ought to be a world that has a particular structure, that isn't a fresh or a fresh from Shtamshim Birgudya, which is mamish, the opening sukkah of Bereshit, that isn't a makom in which you can have a golus, you could have a filthy Arab walking down the street of Yerushalayim, or bells ringing in a, on Shabbos Kedesh. It's insane. It's mamish insane when you think about it. So it's just a total breakdown of any sense of meaning. And yet, I don't know, something that does allow it to be that way. The nature of the makom HaMikdash is not coincidentally the creation of the concept of space. It's HaMokom, Vayas HaMokom Mirachom. And the nature of Avelis is the nature of Mokom. HaMokom in Archimus. We put the two together by saying, B'tok Sha'Avelis Tzion Yerushalayim. There you go. Avelis, Mokom, Tzion, Yerushalayim, Eichel. So that's what I'm saying, it's so precious that every idiot hears it without even thinking about what it means. It just, it talks to me directly. I know that that's a meaningful statement. So I ask you, I understand. What do you mean that's a meaningful statement? You're living in Indiana. What are you telling the guy? Have you ever been to Yerushalayim? No. You intend to go? No. What are you telling the guy? I don't understand. You're insulting him. Man just suffered a terrible personal loss. And you're sitting here drinking him a cup of typical Jewish mishigas, the Jews and the elephant question. Forget about your wife and your love and everything else. Basically, we see this as a question about Jews. You ought to get up and slap you across the face. It's a stupid thing to say to me. I'm suffering and you're giving me a lesson about Judaism. Yerushalayim and Tzion. But that isn't people's reaction, or rarely. My dad told me in one case, but that was the reaction. But, I mean, usually, someone takes this as meaning that this is mechaber me to the nature of meaning overall. But so whatever it says, I have some sense of what it means to be Yisrael. Then I also have some sense of what Yisrael achieves in terms of Tzion Yerushalayim. And again, you don't have to be a Jew to be another child. You have all of these goyim, these fundamentalists of the United States, that mamish, this is what they feel. You know, they are profoundly disturbed by someone who would be ma'arer the relationship of Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Or they'll go and they'll build their towns and they'll call them Beit El, you know, or Beit Lechem, or Yerushalayim, I mean, whatever. That's what they call all of their towns. They give these names to, you know, down to the Hore Eretz Yisrael, to the Kfore Eretz Yisrael. That's West of America, are named after Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara points out. But the Yumazari won't take these names, and that's the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. So the idea of Mokom, because everybody understands that Mokom should not be an arbitrary issue, but should be a specific issue. Only comes for, otherwise what's the difference between one space and another space? I mean, it's silly. So go like those guys said, you want to become Anglicans, go build Jerusalem in England's you know, much more pleasant and much more rainy land than the one where the real one is. So until we build Jerusalem, we're unhappy. We'll build Jerusalem. That's what they say. So how all of a sudden it becomes dovah to a particular makom? If you mean by bris the nature of Maisa Bereishis is bris, yes, of course. Bris ben Hatzorim is harei brisi ultimately. It's actually my bris. I mean, it can't be my bris. A bris has to have two people. I say may receive Elamai, the existence of the creation itself is the ultimate bris. If I cared enough about something to invest in creating it, everything else is secondary. I'm telling you that what that represented, that commitment and that belief and that love, that's mamish mamin, that's what says that his birth was mamin be'alam. He had to be. So that the migration was done through Amunah. That's exactly what we have. That's why the Vahaya Amunah Tipecha, Amunah is right, as Yerushalmi says. He's miming behind anyone. You have to believe in the world in order to invest in it. That belief is essentially the beginnings of bris, right? I believe that has meaning. But then it's the beginning of Esau. It leads inexorably to the specificity of the Eilam. What it is, not just something is there. Because all of Maisa Bereishis isn't something. The whole point of Maisa Bereishis is the uniqueness of the saga, the uniqueness of its history. That's mamish what it's all about. There's nothing generic in Maisa Bereishis, which is why you have the Meshumadik of Sukkim talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bechira. What's that? Asher Bo Bachar. Asher, what's that, Bo Bachar? It's the way he set things up. That's not Bechira, that's Bereishis. That's the chat. That's the ultimate Bechira. It's the Yesh Me'ayin. It's completely free. It's out of nowhere. Because if I ask you why you're Bechira, you also have to say, returning our portion. I can ask you what you want to accomplish with your Bechira. I can never ask you why you made that Bechira. And the male at every stage in my separation, that's what's going on. There's an ongoing involvement, which is the bris of that Maisa. Which means that on every level, it's got to be this that makes Matthew. Yoker Bene Hashem Amotza V'chassidah. That's a given. So what does that Yakus come from? It comes from Kerry. Exactly as it did by Purim. The very fact that everything is random means that the only thing that's unique is the specific path that it ends up taking. Okay, so I mean, what can I do about the fact that it seems that itself seems to be a built-in paradox? Because that's what makes it disgusting. That's what makes it useless. That's what makes it covered with chayshah. I don't get it. So that's mamish pshat the Geniza Sa'or. The Geniza Sa'or was inside of the oil, not outside of the oil. The non-Geniza of the oil, in fact, is the entire thing. That's why Adam Mistakov is running the Sefer HaMatzeifer. You can't get the specific where there's no Geniza Sa'or. So that is what we suffer is the Geniza Sa'or. And you'll notice, if you're Madaik and Rashi, the Or of Yemei Bereishis, there was no Irbudia. Because the pashtus of the Pasuk in Bereishis is Vayar L'Mezah Or Kitay. So Tzutai Rashi says, Rosh Einu Norah. So but the Gemara's pshat in Vayar Elokim is that he was roya that it wasn't kedai shishtamish ben rishayim. Amar the gonzer liyosid lavai apal piken. Rashi says wait, apal piken. During the first 6 days, it was the or, the original or. That was Mishan. Right? So in other words, what about the problem of the Eino Noah that should be Mishan and Bergulia then? Because you weren't there at Tchum in the original Or. And there was no Geniz of the original. Elamai, there's no Irubia in the original Or either. In other words, Choshech has as much a Mokam as Or does. The Choshech itself becomes part of the Or. Right? That's the chat, if you recall, from 30 years ago or so. We did the Maseches Tamura. We did the that's the meaning of Tamura. The Ba'ayahu Tamura Tzidiyah Kedesh is ultimately that Gila to the Eitz HaChayim. It's a Tamar. Rufa, because of Tamura. Remember that night? We was in your house. Pardon. Right. Okay, so that means the concept of mokum is from here. And again, mamish embedded in the words that we say, in the way that we react, so these are very real things. So that means that the avelus of Tisha B'Av is meant to address, that's why all the tinas are full of this issue, that it's meant to address Eicha. And those tinas that have to speak out, well, you didn't say what you did, you're only asking Eicha. Either they miss the point, or their group are coming to bring out that that's what Eicha means. Because obviously every Eicha is Maramis to both sides of the equation. I mean, the reason that it is this way is because we were the ones who didn't do what we had to do. That's what the words mean, because otherwise I don't see it as a process that has any meaning. That's the only solution is that since it's a process, the male I am personally engaged. My personal engagement makes it more tragic, not less tragic. The fact that it's not a paradox, that's not a contradiction, because I'm going to answer, okay, Avela says this is the way the world is. Oh, okay, fine. So now I have nothing more to be misable on. Correct? So now I was this nothing. I changed my mind. The original meaning of my Yinoche. Fine, so now we impose the penis. I got it, thank you. You go home and eat. The same thing that you do at the moment when you come back. Now it's hot. Obviously, that's not the point. What we're saying is, the more, there was the diga before. The more involved I am in the avelas of Tisha B'Av, the more it becomes the way in which I relate to the Beis HaMikdash, the more I'm misaken. So let's check the tikkun, check the recognizing. Is that part of the paradox? Avelas should burn itself out. The avelas of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't burn itself out. Adarabba, it insists that the only solution will be in continuing to tear away at the things that have led you to this impasse. So something's wrong. So figure out what's wrong. And believe me, it's not the shapeless. Something fundamental is wrong. So let's find out what that is. So you keep coming back to the same place. Okay, so then you're not being miserable. If you don't really believe there's something that can be addressed, it's fundamentally wrong. So you've decided to be miserable about the way the world is. That's childish. So just accept it and go away, no? Leave me alone. You know, your dogma of Dovin HaMelech is extremely important, but not exactly in the Nekud of Avela. The Dovin HaMelech is indeed the dogma of the absolute investment into the Olam without any personal linkage to the Olam. In other words, his ability to relate to Yelet's illness is greater than any other person's. And his ability, therefore, to disattach itself instantly with Matnageya is also greater than any other person's. So on that, you're trying to apply that to Avelis. I mean, over here, it's the state of Avelis itself that leads to the secret. I mean, what he had to do over there was not Avelis as much as Tshuva directly. Here, we're not holding by Tshuva. That's the problem with Tisha B'Av. In other words, you will not be aimed on Tshuva until you discover Avelis. What, over there?
No,
but if there was a nasal.
Right.
Okay, so there's no avelus qua avelus.
Right.
Now, he knew what the problem was. He's saying, over here, the problem with Tisha B'Av is we don't know what the problem is. Because the avelus is what leads to discovery of the problem. The chibur that you have to the concept of what's missing is heightened as your avelus is heightened. The person who doesn't feel avelus on Tisha B'Av is lost because he has no idea of what things ought to be like. Mamele, he cannot even begin to consider, so what could be done in order to make things like that? And the person who thinks he has the answer to what needs to be done is also not shy after the avelus. Okay, so fine, so let's get busy and make another shekel burning. Let's get a Lashon Hara group together to be misakin, and Lashon Hara and Raglan, and that'll be, and so on and so forth, right? In other words, he's not aimed on the fundamental problem. That, obviously, if the fundamental mayad, the end of all mayadim is Tisha B'Av, the Shira Chadosha is essentially Tisha B'Av, the latest Mashiach is Tisha B'Av, the Binyan is Tisha B'Av. And that, you know, as the Navi says, this is actually going to be the day of Sosa and Simcha and so on. And so if that's the ultimate tikkun, and it has to be in it, the avelus that it expresses now is the expression of that Mayed in the process of achieving it. So the more one has it, the more one is capable of touching upon the fundamental problems rather than the things that people touch upon all the time, which is the silly things.
What are the fundamental problems?
Oh, he wants the answer so he doesn't have to fast that much. I hear. We have to
the
answer to
the only thing we can do, can we be all in on more than an attempt to figure out what we should do personally as an avodah?
I think so. I think that part of the element of the Eicha is establishing that the real thing that allows you to tikkun is the discovery of Mokrin. Mokrin. We have a concept called conceptual space. People think that the idea of conceptual space is a metaphor for space. Space is a place, so conceptual space is the area within which I think. It's much more than a metaphor. And in mathematics, it's a reality. Because the number of dimensions that you can utilize in a formula is a fundamental way in which the relationship between those things are expressed, correct? If I have a six-dimensional geometry, then I need to express different relationships between things that I don't conceive of within a three-dimensional geometry. Isn't that so? Obviously, the greater the dimensionality, the more potential interrelationship there is. It's a double portion. Let's take a look in terms of Dibur itself, language itself. So you can have a language that is limited to the Dibur of Osius. So we call that a one-dimensional language, in which every os leads to the next os, and so on. The truth is that those kind of languages are essentially hieroglyphic languages, because they don't discuss the elements, because elements can't be seen in one dimension. I need to be able to see them from above and see what this word means, which is, by the way, Nogea given a sheet of how to read. Some children are taught how to read by seeing the individual elements, putting them together. Other approaches to reading is words. You know, you show words. The word becomes an icon. But let's say in a hieroglyphics, you're writing Chinese. It's over there. You write the concepts. So it's really one-dimensional. I go from this concept to the next concept to the next concept. Right? And it's the elements. Each concept is its own thing. Now I put together those things. Suppose I add in the language, I add tones. Now I have all different levels. So now, if I want to write, I need to be able to insert tones. I can be very simple about it, like in English, which is not a very well differentiated language, and I can have italics or bolding and so on, right? I can go to Lashon HaKodesh where I have all the tiny. Each one of those timing implies a different relationship between the concepts in which the letters of those words are interrelated, and I need to take that into consideration in determining, so what's the real meaning? Does this idea more mechubar to the word before, more mechubar to the word after? Does it go back to the word three words before, seeing it as one whole idea, and so on? Those tones are absolutely essential, and they were part of what Ezra talks about. In terms of the Mikra, the Mesera, the Taimim, the Nikudas, and so on, right? The Sum Seichel, that's the Sum Seichel that he refers to in the Pasuk, because the Gemara Darshan. Then you have actual music, not just Taimim. So you speak Chinese, you speak Mandarin. You can't speak Mandarin without music. It's be'etzem, the thing, the fundamental meaning of sound. The characters are the same, but you have to sing it in a different way. If you don't sing it correctly, it means something totally different. So there you've added a completely different dimension of being able to express an idea. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. Now clearly the more dimensions mm-hmm. that I add, the more coordinates there are, and the more complex interactions there are between elements, correct? So the fundamental limitations on the way things can interrelate with each other are spatial limitations. Spatial not in the experience of space that we have. We have this, even though we can't define that well. So cut out the emotional experiences. In other words, don't try to imagine what it would be living experiencing living in six-dimensional space. That's not the point. The point is to cut through the emotions and recognize the level of interrelationships, what it would mean. Correct? And I was in the same way that I understand that if I'm in three dimensions and I come in contact with something that exists in four dimensions, I have trouble in assimilating it. I see it differently. If I live in one dimension, so I'm a one dimension, the Flatland book, the famous book. Describe all reality of one dimension. What does that person see in one dimension, and what can he infer about a creature that might be three-dimensional? How would he interrelate with such a creature? I mean, he would just see a mark where there's an elephant, but to him it's just a mark on a line. Correct? Okay, so how would he be able to infer that maybe there's another element of existence which this creature exists in? Okay, the same thing is true of us. As we're coming to understand even the physical universe, we have to ask ourselves, how would we perceive the fact that there may be many more levels of interaction than we can directly perceive? What would we see about the world that would allow us to discover that? So much of physics has to do with reconstructions of geometry, right? Especially today. In other words, we're unable to give an accurate description of reality in three dimensions of space. Okay, so we have 11 dimensions of space now, which are used for describing reality. It doesn't mean that you will experience them on the macrocosmic level and actually experience them emotionally, but they become the way the universe is. In a very real sense, the dimension of time, which we don't experience, except in having noticed that something changed, but the actuality of time we don't experience, is extremely confusing. Because we're always extrapolating the existence of time rather than really experiencing time. So what happens is, we really don't see something. Now, if you take a look at my separation, since we don't see time, we're very confused by living on a flat line and bumping into an elephant. So we're trying to figure out what's really going on over here. And that allows us to see, wait a second, to really understand my separation, you'd have to live in being able to see it in time, which I can't see. But I can extrapolate that there is an entirety of an entity called my separations, and that indeed it begins with ratios and ends with acris, and that it involves Eretz-Yisroel and so on and so forth. But I have to rediscover that. I can't. And as a child, I only see what's in front of my eyes, so to speak. Since I exist only in three dimensions, I don't notice what extends outside of my eyes. So I ignore it. And then that means that the etzem, the discovery of what it really is to see Yehuda or Yisrael or Bereishis as a place is a tremendous, tremendous change. Why is that the etzem, the avoda? Because the reason that we do not ever get to the bottom of the issues is because our conceptual space is restricted to certain types of interrelationships, which we find outside of them to be completely inconceivable. They're simply inconceivable. It's not that we're not willing. We don't have the kalim to note those levels of interaction. We've never seen them. We've never inferred them. We had no basis to believe that they could exist, and therefore we never came to question them. If your mind works in a particular way, you cannot question the underlying assumptions that are the assumptions your mind uses to think. Because your kalim are defined in the same way that the mistakes are defined. So you're stuck. Therefore, the more aware you are of the nature of mokum, and you're about to feel over, the more aware you are of the nature of mokum as being the essence of my separation, which is so true, by the way, people miss this. Right? That's why the essence of my separation, so beautiful, you know, the essence of my separation is makom. But makom doesn't only mean makom. Makom has a different word, rishus. But rishus means choice and practice. And that's rishuyas of Shabbos, which is time. So rishuyas of Shabbos, which should involve malachas, end up involving rishuyas. The whole Masechta Shabbos talks about this silly business about something that doesn't even have meaning in terms of Shabbos. Right? So, it's a malacha geruah. Okay, so why do we talk about nothing else? Forget about why we start with it, with Taisus, you know. I mean, will you tell me why the rest of the Masechta doesn't talk about anything else? Or why the next Masechta doesn't talk about anything else? I don't understand what's going on over here. I thought this is the least important thing. So now you've got Bamei Behemah, you've got Bamei Ishin, you've got Azarek. There's one Mishnah that mentions it, by the way, it's another 38 malachas, but we'll run through them. Can we get back now, what happens if it's near Shalom Siddur's time, there's a fire, so what about them? Could you, woo, what if your truck gets filled, can you pick them up? And it's unbelievable. And then in case you want to make sure that you could carry him, we're going to make more Rishiyas, but Rabbanan and Bosco is going to come out and say, Shlomo, you're a genius. And, I mean, we're obsessed. This is the malacha geruah of Maisa Bereishis. That's mamish, the whole point. So Rishuyas Shabbos is space-time. It's not so unbelievable. So Dorshe Rishuyas Shabbos, that we talk about in the Night Shanas, in terms of Mokhan, is unbelievable. Complete revision of the nature of Maisa Bereishis. So therefore, because I was pointing out yesterday to Nachman, if you think in terms of religious belief, which the Christians do, so the Christian science is negea. I mean, unfortunately, to many Yidden, science is negea. Religious belief, right? So in other words, okay, we don't carry it octave cap. We won't look through a telescope because the sun's not supposed to have any spots on it. I mean, octave cap, we won't do. We'll say, okay, so the Rambam is wrong in saying that there's no pagam on this. Fine, there is. I'm not so bothered by that. But if somebody comes along and says, you know, but I mean, you also come from apes. That would go crazy. Or if somebody comes along and says, again, for Christian, not for us. You know, so we read the Chumash. You know, somebody comes along and talks about Freud, and you're dry. It's not for Shalom, and so on. But if at one point, imagine for one point in history, instead of Stam Galileo pointing a telescope, there would have been a person who gave over all of the scientific knowledge of today. They wouldn't have bothered burning him at the stake. They simply would have locked him up and thrown him in the snake pit. Because obviously he's lost his mind. The guy believes that the sun is made out of the same thing that water is made out of. And he believes it's like rock, the same thing everything we got here. That the world is basically a rock running around the sun that keeps it warm. Oh God. You know, he thinks that you're not going to believe this one. He thinks that the various things on the earth actually relate to each other, came from each other. You know what he also thinks? He believes that the way to construct human beings is not by having little men living in their sperm cells, but have themselves little men living in theirs. He believes that you can take a human being and you can write down how to make a human being, and then you throw that into a pile of chemicals, and it gives the instructions to the chemicals. Well, who cares what he believes in? You're going to kill him just because, for mercy, you know. Mm-hmm. Or put him into a madhouse. So it's not the gradual development that allows people to see things in completely different ways. It's not a child. There's nothing to argue about because I can't begin to conceive of it. I don't have the kalim to begin. That, by the way, that Stephen Gould brings up the goof of that marshal of the homunculus, you know, with Ramban's trap and Zera, this little children, little people, little men, which is what all of scientific, natural philosophy believe that. You know, so he says, you know, so these people are very stupid. Must be, I mean, I understand. So this little man, who's invisible, has little testes, which are more invisible, which has little men inside of them that are more invisible. Of course, they also have to have their own testes, which are even more invisible, to have little men inside of them. There has to be enough to keep on going. I mean, it doesn't come from nowhere. The information is all contained in the original man, isn't it? I mean, that's obvious. I mean, we're not foolish enough to not believe in genetics. Well, there's only one way to communicate information, and that's to have it. So he points out, it doesn't matter how brilliant you are. It doesn't matter how sophisticated you are. It doesn't matter how absurd this seems, which it certainly seems to you as being mad. But if there's no choices, this is the way it is. Why are there no choices? Because it's only over the past 100 years or so that anybody figured out that there's a concept called information. Nobody even thought that there was such a thing. What do you mean, information? Like, what do you mean, I take information, I put it into another form? I don't put information into another form. I tell you something which allows you to remember that information. It's not that I can take, what do you mean, I can take base pairs, put them into a particular order, and that is the person in a different way. I understand, I'm looking at a page, and somebody goes, no, that's not a page. That's basically 16 billion pixels, that are, each one is controlled with a zero or a one. It's a list of millions and millions of zeros and ones, and when you make a correction on the page, which you see in front of you, you're not making a correction on the page. But did you think you typed a letter? Well, how unsophisticated do you mean, type a letter? You gave information and ASCII codes in a series of zeros and ones, which program pixels in a particular way. It's fooling you into thinking it's a letter. Somebody had a way of thinking that all you need is a way of putting together on and off switches, and anything that you could possibly want to do, you can achieve with on and off switches. I mean, come on. So you realize the mathematical development that had to go in, literally decades and decades of thought, development of Boolean algebra, I mean, it's not conceivable without it. You simply laugh off the possibilities. I can't begin thinking about it. Once I live in a time in which the concept called information, which instead of having an analog, which was the only way to store information is to have an analog. What's the information something that's really... You can build an analog of information. You can build an analog of a person, and then it can grow again. But I mean, I certainly can't say, okay, let's make a person by giving a list of instructions. So there's no choice. Obviously, they're these little men that live in people. Well, what else could there be? To the point that the Rambam says, sure he says, look through a microscope, you'll see little men in sperm. Guarantee you. Rambam says it. Stammer should have a microscope. You shouldn't have it. That weren't supposed to be microscopes. He uses Kuchit Megadelic. Maybe. So apparently he did. He did see something or other moving. You know, he was assumed that's the little man. What else could it be? Okay? That's conceptual space. So the more, and it's not shy to get into, I can't go beyond that. You see, Parsha can't go beyond that. So, in recognizing the nature of the potentiality of Tzion Yerushalayim, and only, and you'll notice that that's what we call our vision of the potential of Bria is linked into Tzion, right? That's why we use Tzion to mean signposts. And it has to do with the path. The nature of the word Tzion is to relate to Derech. It's Tzionei Drachim. So it means that indications of where you're going are linked to a conceptual base. That conceptual base we actually think of as a place. And in English it uses, I'm in a different place. So what is, I'm in a different place. The way in which I view the world is a totality that describes all of the possible interrelationships of things. And they're so different from you that it's like I live in a different place. We mama see it that way. As we become more and more aware of the nature of thinking, and its interrelationships. We recognize that there can be a more fundamental space in which I can think of things differently. The remez of that in the Beis HaMikdash is the beautiful remez in the Pasuk of Chadar Horati, which Chazal say that's Hayrah. Hayrah has to come, so to speak, from the room in which you were yourself. It's amazing because in English it's the same word, conceived. So a conception in terms of the potential of a thing is the way in which I'm capable of thinking about a thing, which is also conception, conceptualization. So you have the same thing in English as in Hebrew. So horati is my being conceived, and horati is my giving a horah. What's the relationship here? In that in order to give a horah, I have to reconceptualize. Otherwise, I'm going to keep on saying the same thing, always. And that's exactly the fact that I'll walk along myself. To say something that's already been said is not a horah. There's no din of being married Allah if they rob us. It's bedaka reconceptualization, which is a horah. Mamash Allah Kalamaita. That's why it's Chadar Horati. So the more in which I'm capable of understanding the nature of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim per se, I'm capable of understanding the underlying issues. If I insist on just thinking over what I already know, which is what people always do, because that's their escape from Avelas. That's their escape from Eicha. We pointed this out in Chatzila. The discomfort of Avelas is so intense that the reaction is to reconstruct your life, which is the worst possible thing to do. Because the only way that Avelas achieves anything is not by reconstructing, but by starting a completely new thing, which is the real meaning of Nechama. Surrender your preconceptions. Become completely disillusioned. And then you have a chance. But if you're going to try to recreate your illusions, so then you're going to be back to the same thing again. What would then be the point? So Eicha is Mechayim disillusionment. And yet the immediate reaction is, hey, for Shabbat Nacham, we're not going to be to Shabbat. Because, whew, thank God we can drop all of this. Oh, it's so heavy, man. It's so heavy. That's why it's the reaction. So the contemplation of being a tzaddik yisrael olam, living on the edge, as the Rambam says, kol hashana kula, kilo olam chetze zakai, chetze chaya, also mitzvah achas, ha'yichliya et kol olam, oh, come on. Man, give me, I'm maybe the other, it's a mechuba, but don't talk about the whole year. Right? Because that's our fundamental desire to find a place for ourselves. Literally. And we talk about being in a matzah of discomfort. Say, I just can't find myself a place. That's the feeling that you have. When you don't have a place. So then you think your life is a disaster. But the truth is, when you don't have a place, you have the first chance of making something of your life. So if the way in which you reconstruct your vision of place in terms of Tzion Yerushalayim becomes now and that's why it's Hamakim. It has to be. You want to reconstruct your Avelis, there's only one way to reconstruct your life after Avelis. Hamakim Yenachim. You want to limit Hamakim. And by the way, in Latin it's the same thing. Domini, which is Adonai, is domain, is Rishus, is Malchus, dominion, right? Is authority, dominion, which is Rishus, and the other meaning of Rishus, which is authority, which is Memshala. I mean, it's incredible. I have the power of language recognizes Mokaim as the essence of what we mean by God. So if there's going to be anything in common, Kibayoko, between the Tzelem and the actual Bere, it has to be in terms of a parallelism in Mokaim. So that the Hashra'at HaShchina can only be in terms of a shared Mokaim. So this becomes now that I think, even though who Mekayme Shalaylam, but that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. I don't understand. If you're Mekayme Shalaylam, so how can I make a Mokaim for the Aron? And that's the quote. Don't know. Mokam Shlomo Melech talks about having made a mokam for Hashem Elokei. How is that possible? Says Moshe. It's a contradiction of terms. That's the contradiction of it. Mamish believes they have such a problem in making the Beis Hamikdash, which is the mocker of all the Vinim of Shabbos, all the Vinim of Malachas, for the same reason. And it's amazing how all of the sukkahs mamish tie together. So this idea of mokum comes out of it. It means both things. Samokim in Akhmetzkan, the Terek Shara Velitzion, meaning the Terek Shara Mitzavah Malamokha. That's coincidence. Because the only shaykhus to the Nechama is indeed in terms of a parallelism in terms of mokum. I need to be able to escape the limitations of my mokum in order to be able to deal with the fundamental issues. So the more in which you seek to establish, we talked yesterday about Holocaust Mamish, the result of the recent Holocaust, which I kind of is nothing but the seum of the Korban. It's not that it's a different event. The point is that you have the Maisa of the Korban, which involves the same elements to a lesser degree than the Holocaust. But without any of the tools to be able to achieve what needed to be achieved. In other words, as the Rambam passes, Pashallah Lamaisa, is that there's a Hafsafa that Yisrael Zayis and Shuva. You have the Makos, you are Rabbi Yeshua. Retired is, okay, Imena Maisa and Shuva, Amen. No, Imena Maisa and Shuva. Kaddish Baruch Hu made Elohim Melech Pashak Alma, and they made some Shuva. Kaddish Baruch Hu was maybe a Melech Pashak Alma. Who was Matsuya Kemat and his mice and Kapriti? Shalom Kahama. And Yisrael Bulas, it's true. So we have a Kasha, what will I say? There's nothing to do. There's no way to get people to do Tshuva. You can't get to do Tshuva the Holocaust. There's nothing more you can do and still have survivors. So it's not true. Evidence points clearly it's not true. So what's it all about? I mean, that kind of corporate doesn't know it wasn't true. So what's the point? I mean, if you're going to kill off so many millions of people, nothing's going to be achieved by it, so don't bother. It's a Mishnaitic problem. So therefore, the only way to really look at it is to recognize that the Holocaust itself is Pekita. Obviously joins with the SM recreation of Eretz Yisrael as a country, with the changing of the name of Jewishness to Yisrael, tremendous change, historical change. I'm saying that those things go hand in hand. Mitzrayim was also a Holocaust. The Kedah and Mitzrayim came Dafka after the worst elements of the Melech Chodesh HaMitzrayim, the murder of the children and so on. But the Pekita involved both of those things. So this is the Pekita. The Pekita, what it does is, it isn't a joke. What it does is it says like this. Obviously, if there's a process of Golas, it's impossible at the beginning of the process to get to the end of the process. Obviously. I mean, otherwise there wouldn't need to be a process of Golas. So then that means that the process of Golas itself is the creation of new space, which was unaccessible earlier, and which is now at least theoretically accessible, correct? Mm-hmm. It has to mean that. Rukhiya points this out in the Zohar, which they almost killed him for. And he says, if you're in the Dayak in the Pasuk, it says, V'ayot yavo aleichem, etc., 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 v'shav Hashem elokeach ha'shavuska, says Rukhiya, says the Pharisee in the Pasuk that you cannot end the Golas early. But it says only after all of this will happen is it shayach to have a Shav Hashem Elokei HaShavuska. So everybody starts screaming at him, what are you talking about? What, you're being mocked about it? We were learned here and there and everywhere. Everything is dependent on Tshuva, and all you have to do is do Tshuva, and Hayom in the Golot Ishmo, and you're saying Mamish Kfira. He says, why? It's not. All I'm doing is I'm self-telling you the Pasuk. And you're absolutely right. Everything's dependent on Tshuva. All I'm telling you is, it won't happen. That's all I'm telling you. That's his response. It won't happen. Emet, everything's totally in Tshuva. It's just, well, it's not going to happen. So in other words, it's the same one as a haptacha tshuva, which means that that has to be part of the actual process, is tshuva. And obviously, if you think about it for a moment, you recognize that the whole problem of Eicha is the breakdown of the Yud and the Hay in the Oisius of the Shem and my separations. That's the Bekah, Hashem, it's the Bekah, Tzurei Lami, which is Kedeged Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. The Etzem existence of the Yud and the Hay is tshuva. In other words, the hay is the ability to fall out of the world and the ability to crawl back in, which leads you to the, yeah, that's where all of the tshuva revolves around. Olam HaZeh, Olam HaBa, what's the nature of bris? If it's all in terms of Olam HaZeh, I ask, you know, all of the elements, again, I mean, you know, it takes months to get there, but you go through Yom Tshuva, Kimata, one halacha isn't based on this issue of defining well the relationship between the Yud and the Hay. So, if that is the case, then if Rukhiya is saying that, then obviously that's the way, I mean, I'm saying now it's clear, it's part of the Shemesh, I mean, it's not a theory, now we understand. The things that need to be addressed, all Kalari sort of say, as the Gemara says, the Navi asks, everybody asks, nobody understands, I'm Rav Dars. And it's, what do you mean you don't understand? I thought the whole point was the truth. I mean, if I'm either, can I get either? If I can't figure out what it is, Kasher Yasser, it's just deny. I mean, so what do you mean? I have to now go crazy to figure out what it is. And then you give me this ridiculous reason. You're hoping to tell you that you have no life. What is this? Clearly, the Gemara is coming to discuss things of such an underlying subtlety that there is no way to understand it without redefining your conceptual space, so that you can now start dealing with issues that never were raised previously. Because they couldn't be, because there simply weren't the words for it. That's the point. I'll tell you, I'm happy to tell you. You think it's going to make a difference if I tell you? Of course, what do you mean? Just tell us. If we don't understand it, we'll think about it more. Okay, go build for the Tarakila. Now you know? So now you're going to go out and you'll be Mubarak in the Torah Tzila, and you'll come back and you'll say, gee, I everybody was very careful to Mubarak in the Torah Tzila, and nothing changed. It's mamish like this, the famous Chassid Shemaitse, you know. It's exactly like that. One of the Rebbes had said, you know, that somebody who keeps a kind of Tzibur for 40 days is Seicha to Gilui Elio. Now he brings the Mokker, the Zayah, this and that. No, 40 days later, one of the Hasidim walks in and he says, Rebbe, I gotta tell you, I was mamish aimed 40 days and nights and wasn't over for one instant. Didn't say, wasn't the Rames, did I? Completely without Hebrew for 40 days, I still have it to name it all. Rebbe puts his hands around him, there's some circle of water, goes around the back, goes into the garage where the horse is eating, and says, he didn't say anything for 40 days either. That's no different than I got as far as we say. Mibikesh, we have Semer Mosat Seirai, which is exactly what the formula is all about. And of course, the fine, rational, intelligent from a person says, what do you mean? It says the Pharisee by Yikra. What do you mean, me became so? Did I make a mistake in the Pusik? And he looks back in, takes out his Gemara's Vasik, this is Gemara Manoch, his Chaz is over, comes back to the Novi, what are you, Novi Shekhar? You're going against Teres Meshur Abinu, and we should have you hung. What do you mean, me became so smiefsa? How can you say that if he talks like that? Well, he forgot to tell you that. And literally, that's what people would do. That's what they do. Because nobody takes the Pusik as saying a reality. The Rambam applies the Pusik as reality. He says, doing mitzvahs has no meaning whatsoever. The riot is, you can do a meeting, and I come to the Prophet and say, will you stop bothering me? Maybe Kazan's me at him. I don't understand. I never asked for this. So if that's true about the Iker Aveda, which is the Aveda, I think the Shkoshkin is true about everything else. So in other words, the guy just spent his whole life being the Dak, the Tiktuk, the Mamish, I mean, Shrekel. the best possible tefillin, the chumras of every possible tzitzis, of every din and achila. His whole life is dedicated to this. And I got a girl who's taking them. I said, not that it is again. Oh, God, a new first one. And throwing them at him. Torf them, I say, upon them. Shinem Ami became as we have to remember my Shatzila. Why? So, obviously, going over the same conceptual space is not the solution. The Pasuk means, by saying Mibikesasviyatsev, that the context of the space defines what you're doing. I mean, you really thought that I said that if you're a horse, you're going to Gila Shalaviyo. That's what you really thought. You come back and you tell me I was quiet for 40 days. You come back and tell me we saw that every person that Claudius saw was Mubarak al Pharisee. How come the Mashiach hasn't come yet? And I'm supposed to take you seriously, and I first have to go. You're pushing the Mashiach. I say a word. A word has a context. A word isn't just a theory. A word has a context. Say, no, this is what the word said. He said 40 days. 40 days means Eliyahu. He said, Shalom Baruch Al Tarachila. That means he didn't open his mouth, and he didn't say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and I did it. I mean, that's what he says. And that's like taking the Sefer Torah and saying, okay, it says the Yad Hashem Haitz, oh, because Baruch has a hand. That's exactly what it's saying. That's what the word means. It means a hand. Or maybe a hand is called a hand because of something more fundamental that interrelates positionally to items. At hand. It's a metaphor. The real hand is the hand. I mean, they're not going to say, hey, Mikli, I can make true day. Says Hashem had a hand. Chloriah Hashem had a hand. Says Vayer Vayvoker, Chloriah, my precious, took 6 days. There's no sun. The sheer time that would have been 6 days if there would have been a sun. Whatever. That's Ramesh the approach. It's like project like idiots. But the worst thing is, okay, maybe you want to be an idiot for yourself, but the worst thing is, then you come back on his walls and you argue the points. So now you're upset. I did everything you said to do, and now you're sending me to hell. I understand. I built yeshivas by the hundreds. We were mason nefesh poshut in ways that are totally, I mean, it's just beyond belief. We're head and shoulders above any goyim that ever existed. Yoyman v'layla were nishchatim alecha, al shimcha agada. And then what do? You send the Germans to murder men, women, and children. It's impossible. It's impossible to get along with you. That's the conclusion. Because after all, we follow the instructions word for word. So obviously, anyone with any brains recognizes that that's nonsensical. Obviously, the fundamental nature of the instructions you didn't even think about. What you did was you took what was comfortable for you, and you said, okay, this is what it means. The fact that that is insulting, that God is horrible, what is what it means? That I like you to take blood and to throw it at me. That's what it means. You really believe that? That I'm a Meshuggah? That's what you believe? That's what the Rambam is actually saying. That's what that's about. In the Din of Mechaka Mishra, they believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nut. That the things that they wouldn't be chayshed on another human being. Well, you can't expect to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't even understand Dumbledore. Why should I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, you're a little bit crazy. She's a big genius. She's more crazy. That's what you think of me. That's what you're saying. We did all of these stupid things, but I mean, we believed them because you said to do them, and therefore we're very upset that you sent the Nazis. And maybe I sent the Nazis because you took the things that meant things and you turned them into stupid things. Maybe that's so funny. Maybe because you didn't care enough to figure out that these aren't stupid things. Maybe that's the point. That it was supposed to be L'tay V'lachem. Maybe because I said it's supposed to be Kiyichuch V'aschem, and V'aschem L'inei Ami, make yourself total asses in the eyes of the whole world, doing the same thing to me. With Zeham Hashem, and V'aschem Yatzol, and everybody sees you're insane. Maybe that's why I get upset. No, that never occurs to you. Come back and you say, okay, yeah, I understand. We were wearing shape like from India. That's a big problem. We'll be massacring that. This is your response to me. And I'm supposed to take this seriously and pay attention to your feelings and so on. That's That's basically the nature of Eicha. Sometimes the more you're willing to confront. But, so what does it mean? What's the context of the Torah? What's the context of Maaseh Bereishis? What was it supposed to be that enables me to do a mitzvah that it should be meaningful? Instead of that, what is your solution? Mumbo jumbo! I found the tefillah that was mechubar by ex-wife Tony, who nobody even knows whether he was a tzaddik, a rosh, a shatzai tzvinik, but it sounds good. It says you should use these shamans, put these shamans together, say them 40 times a day, and everything will be okay, and I went to the kaisel 40 times in a row, and the kallah still didn't get married. Hello? Ken, eipata? Ah. תצלצל לבית, הבן שלי נמצא, אני נותן שיעור עכשיו. הבן שלי בבית. אם לא, תצלצל חזרה ונבוא לעזור לך. אני אתן לך. 02-628-3697. שלום. סרגי. Needs help. Yeah. I mean, basically, we're finished more or less. All right, so in other words, we are no more able to say, so what is the solution, than to quote Al Shalom Beruchu B'Torah Tefillah, and it should sound reasonable to people. First, you have to do all of the work that makes it possible for you to hear that Lo Beruchu B'Torah Tefillah means something. Instead of some silly bars or sheer, that it means something that hits you in the face. Not that somebody gives you a diak and a mevis and a ramiz and not having enough akar to say that. Right? It has to mean something to you. So unless you have the fundamental concepts, it doesn't mean anything to you. You could be walking over things that are so laden with meaning, so full of incredible joy and mamish one limud after another, and you start to trample over them, don't even notice them, and keep on going. And what do you see? The pictures that you already put on the wall that you drew when you were 3 years old, and that's what you see. That's the mechelas ha'egel problem of having created an image that makes sense to you now, and now dance around it. You're going to keep dancing. Dance all the way to the grave. Keep dancing, because you're never going to do anything else. So that exactly is what the first Sikha of Eicha, recognizing the relationship of Chalata Avela, recognizing the relationship of Tikkun and Nechama, to not searching the same Mokum, but rather for redefining what that Mokum is. And then, at least having to start dealing with the next issue. So in terms of the Holocaust, what happens is, it takes nearly 2,000 years of developing paradigms to at least have the tools to be able to deal with what is wrong. Therefore, the Melech Prussia Kahaman, we have to accept, is in fact the trigger for tshuva. The fact that that tshuva hasn't happened yet is no different than the Pekita that happened to be made Kairach, or the Pekita that happened to be made Mitzrayim. It takes time till it happens. But the impact of that Holocaust was incredibly in one major thing. It destroyed Mokum. Every Mokum that Klal Yisrael had was destroyed. Mokum, conceptual Mokum, physical Mokum, there was no ghetto left to run to, no place left that is particularly Yisrael oriented, forced you back essentially to the original Mokum of Yerushalayim, and then said, so, no, you obviously don't know anything about it. So what are you going to do now? So it may take 50 years, 70 years. I mean, that's nothing. That's like the relationship of the first Churban to the actual return. That's normal for a period of Pekita. But the you cannot be gerim the tshuva until you actually do what the Churban was meant to do, which is to destroy your Mokum. Of course, what is the nature of all foolish people is to recreate the same Mokum that was. That's the worst possible thing to do. So that Lamaisa, the thing that has put us into the pickle that we're in today, is that that's what the reaction to the Holocaust was by most people. So let's rebuild, whether it's Panovich or it's Tells or it's Lita, we'll rebuild it. Instead of recognizing that the more you rebuild, the more you destroy the whole meaning of everything that has just happened. So, and let's build bigger mechitzas to protect ourselves by reestablishing the conceptual mechitzas so that, I mean, I expect you even do some things that are pretty crazy. I mean, you'll say that if people dress such and such a way in such and such a society where it was 20 degrees below zero, we will reduplicate that and put furs on my head in the middle of the summer, because after all, at one small point along its stop in the Midbar Ha'amim of the Kalayas of history, which I still remember, that's the way that they dressed when it got cold. So you think, have we totally lost our mind? Or, what have I missed? Something is terribly, terribly wrong. So after they got to reconstruct the same ideas, it's Mamish Meshuggah. It's like Frank Lloyd Wright points out. This is every culture. You ask me what's beautiful. Do I hold that Egyptian architecture is beautiful? Absolutely. Fantastic. Roman? Absolutely. Sure. That doesn't mean that I build a Roman piazza in the middle of Japan, you understand? I mean, which means something is beautiful. It means in the context of its cultural assumption, the kalim that it had to build buildings, the engineering capabilities, the material technologies, the things that people were doing in buildings. I call also Yotha the Ethic. If somebody wants to be so dumb as to build a building in the middle of New York City, put on artificial pillars on it, which aren't needed, because after all, the Romans had a pillar on the outside, then stick a couple of weird-looking gargoyles on top, because that was very popular in medieval England, and then on top of that, put in a Japanese rock garden as you're walking in, you should be hung! That's exactly what's going on. That's unbelievable. You create these insane, garish, maddening, completely useless, and meaningless mukhams. And then you wonder, gee, why is everything going wrong? I'm so careful to protect my children, and instead we're getting more children on the fringes. Ay, ay, ay. Better protection is what we need. Once you're dealing with that level of responsiveness, you know that it's hopeless.
Then why
did he
have this problem again?
What's that?
The same problem. No, that's the same. No, he did everything that he could. He brought a house.
Correct.
Still nothing.
No.
Everybody tried.
No.
Build up the moment.
No. Here, the solution is that you can sometimes create all of the necessary requirements for tshuva that do not put in until after the tefillah. And this is true, Allah alamais, mamish Allah alamais, because the Rambam uses so mishunavik. And if you talk about the level of Ruach HaKadosh, the Rambam, it's mamish like standing on Arif Pinim. The Rambam puts together the din of Shav Yom Echad, the same Misosra, with the halacha for Hitziach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisosha B'Soif Ha'isim Shuvah. And he uses what he says. What does that mean? That a person should always be mishtad alas his tshuva, kidei sheyamos v'hu bal tshuva. Understand? Are you telling me that I will be made to bal tshuva? I can't give over all of the yukim, this is going to take hours and hours. But basically, the bottom line is that the Rambam tells us that there is a tshuva that emerges from the activities of tshuva. In exactly the same way that there's a tshuva that emerges from the journey through the different spaces that Yisrael has to emerge, which is Masoi. Those are the Masois. That's the Haftoka in the nature of reality. So the fact that you don't see it, you never see emergence until it actually happens. Impossible to see it. Because it's the conclusion of the process is when you get the emergent property of it. So Mimela, the tearing away of Mokum, of the Holocaust, the reconstruction of Mokum in terms of the creation of Eretz Yisrael, the conceptual change in terms of dropping Judaism for Yisrael instead of Yehuda, in your paradigm of what to be, And the pressure which is exerted by the realities of those Hamas Gogumagra are such that you have all of the Kalim and the Mela, the emergent reaction in a tshuva which is that's Kilakayam. The actual tshuva is always meaningless, it's instantaneous. It's the work, it's the prior work that's required. It's the same thing when you come up with the Chiddush and the Sugya. You can work for 3 months on the Sugya. You don't have a clue to what's going on. All of a sudden, you wake up in the morning with a pshat. Understand? So you mean all that work was for nothing? That work was the pshat, except that you didn't see it. You needed one thing to make it click. Then all of a sudden, the whole thing clicks together. It's, everything is like that. So that all of what happened during the course of the Golas, okay, it's fine, you'll start playing your game again. It obviously, to anybody intelligent already, it's obviously not working. And other people know it's not working. So there's the first stages of cynicism. So all the yeshivas become cynical, right? Why do they become cynical? Because they know that they're living a lie. They know that everything that Rosh Yeshiva says is, can't be true. They know what the Rebbe is telling them is impossible to be true. Because the whole world shouts that it's not true. So they know it's not true. They know that the place where they're more likely to find something true is somewhere where it isn't in the yeshiva. And the Lord would say that. No, he's a great professor. And he says, well, he's a great professor. You need a riot from a great professor when your Rebbe says it. What, are you crazy? This guy's an ice farm. He went to college. Yeah, but he's a big professor. You know, the whole idea, or if somebody else except the one you have vested interest in says something, it's a Rosh Yeshiva layout, that is bizarre. You know, your Rosh Yeshiva is a Rosh Yeshiva layout. All the other ones are Rosh Yeshiva layouts. The whole thing, it shows a breakdown in the fundamental interrelationships and beliefs of the society. So think at every level, you know, the whole thing is collapsing. Whether it's economically, whether it's philosophically, whether it's in terms of relevance and geopolitically, and in terms of its own ability to be mechanic and chill, the whole paradigm is collapsing, mom, is very, very quickly. Good, okay, so there comes the point. So now what are we going to do? So now all of the work and all of the sugyas and all of the limud and so on, once it becomes clear, it's akshak and not full of abitina. It's like the Rambam says, Christianity is very useful. It's useful. That makes people mature. Yeah, but that's minor. But the main point that it forces people to think about morality, it forces people to think about what is the nature of God, right? And so on and so forth. This nonsense of a yashkena, this, so what, how long does it take for it to see that that's stupid? The same thing over here, you have thousands of years of people learning and remembering Torah and memorizing Mishnayos. I said they're all idiots. Okay, so what? So how long does it take to become intelligent? 2 minutes. You're ready. You reconstruct your system of values. And all of a sudden, all of those things become meaningful. And usable. So that has to show that it's a waste. It just takes the akshek and not the lunabitainu, that's all. And obviously, that's the whole point of Gula, is to recognize the shekers and not the lunabitainu. That's why the Rambam Park is, what's the Dinah Yilchus Tainius? He interns the Tisha B'Av. Is to come to recognize what was wrong with your others. Not what's wrong with you. To discover through your own actions you're doing the same insane things that your forefathers did. To go back to figuring out what was wrong with that. That's the Iker Mitzvah, not the Dushu. That's why we always say, Anachu Lavi Seder. What are you talking about, Anachu Lavi Seder? Well, what do you care if your Ovis were good? Because then you're not after the Shuvah. Because then you're repeating, you're accepting what they told you, which is obviously wrong. And then and now you're making that good. And then people have a vision. Oh, if only we could be on the Darga of the door of the Rav Ki Vega. You see, what happened to the daughter of today? Oh, all right. Well, if only we could be on the level, the Darga. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm not saying we're Darga, but coming a dogma, we could be on a Darga of the door of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yeah, that's right. That's when the Churban happened. That's, and you can't even dream of being on that Madrega. So understand, you can't dream of being on a Madrega if the door that the Churban happened to. So what are you going to do? So it's helpless. It just says crazy. That's the point of the Rambam, to figure out what's wrong with that door, not what's right with that door. So Mamela, that's what every time this is. If you start off with the opposite assumption, Kol Ma'aseh Rabbeinu is emet v'tehillah. Everything that I learned from my Rebbe is certainly true. If this is the way things were in such and such a Mokum, then it's the only way it can be. So then you're pushing, committing yourself to Holocaust. Literally. Because that's the only solution to such a thing, to tear away Mokum again. Okay, Rabbi, time. We should be there. That's the Gula Shlema. Take on new space. No! I wanted to go home and help this guy. All right, probably by now he's all right.
So what should they have done when they heard so powerful that Torah speaking? What should they have done?
Throwing up their hands in despair and said, let's sit down and figure out what life is all about. And I don't know whether there was anything to do. That's what Rabbi said. There isn't anything to do. There may be nothing to do. We may not be blaming particularly. We're not blaming people for the Holocaust.
This
is nothing else to do. If the bris becomes atkidekach shechuka, that it no longer functions creatively, then it's not a bris. A bris is sexual in order to be creative. Correct? You can't have a bris that isn't creative. I mean, so that isn't going in, isn't doing anything, isn't producing anything.
So those were just nonsensical words?
What? No, it could be it was nonsensical to most of the people who heard them, or then maybe it was one or two individuals that knew them. Those one or two individuals who were talking about yesterday could have given it over to the next door that could have understood it better. It's okay now. It's like what we always do when we're caught in such positions. So what do I do sitting here and prod? Give up? Or work it out that there should be something beyond prod? So that's what we do. But it's always the Dora Karan. Mamanta Saper, the Dora Karan. Who keeps it alive with us? How much does it take to keep it alive? One person. That's Mamanta Saper, the Dora Karan. That's the Rishamshan Paul Hirsch. And that's the way you remember. An incredible letter. Thank God nobody reads it. They would thought they would probably go to his cavern enough to uproot it. And that's what he says. That's what he says. Look, this. You need to have all of this, because if after you finish with the reform and the conservative, and you know what we would have to handle, in the dream of it, but after you finish with all of it, you may be left with one Jew who has a clue to what that means. That's all you need. All you need is one person who knows what it means. The rest of it is to understand. What was that, a chiddush? So what's wrong? There's one person. But that becomes, that's how it started, maybe that's how it ends. But that's the entirety of history, was to provide the necessary construct, space, for that one person to exist. You think that would bother me, he says. So what if, so 20 million people die, so is there a survivor who could use that to escape? Of course, his vision of escape is escaping the Rambam. Can you imagine? He believes the Rambam has so locked in Jewish thinking that the only way you could possibly escape the Gula is by learning to escape the Rambam. He keeps making these horrible comments about it. In that letter, he says, and maybe there will be one person who will figure out that Moshe Ben Maimon is not Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very strange. And this is like a refrain. But besides that, he's okay.
You see where I'm going?